DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher was ordained in 1979 as a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He obtained his doctorate from the Gregorian University, and he has dedicated many years to an extensive ministry of retreats, spiritual direction, and teachings about the spiritual life. Father Gallagher is the author of several books published by the Crossroads Publishing Company on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. Father Gallagher is featured on the EWTN series Living the Discerning Life, the Spiritual Teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. I'm so excited to be able to talk about this part of Venerable Bruno's life. We find him in the year 1806, 1807, with many struggles, many challenges facing him. And what's exciting about it is his response to those challenges.
Yes, I think it's often hard for us at a distance of, well, just a little over 200 years to, which isn't that long as the history of the church goes, and in our own first world, to realize some of the pressures that Catholics lived through in these years, beginning with the French Revolution, which rapidly turned violently hostile to the Catholic Church, bloodily hostile to the Catholic Church, and then an uneasy peace, which is probably too strong a word, but a coexistence, which Napoleon, he realized that France was destroying itself by trying to destroy the church, and that for the sake of the strength of his own empire, it would be wise to make some kind of peace with the church, which he did with Pope Pius VII, giving as little as he could to the church and retaining heavy control over the church, even taking back some of the freedom he had given the church in the Concordat, which he and the Pope signed immediately after the signing of that document, immediately taking back some of what he had given. But nonetheless, something for which Pius VII was always grateful. It was through Napoleon that the church in France was able once again to resume its life. However, at the price of very heavy control by Napoleon and the French. And so you had a situation in which Venerable Lanteri and all dedicated Catholics of his time could live their faith openly. You could go to the sacraments and the rest. At the same time, the French government, while it gave a certain freedom to the church, forcibly suppressed all men's and women's religious communities. They were simply put out in the street. Monasteries and their churches at times were destroyed, at times turned into hospitals or barracks for the soldiers. Seminary life was interrupted. Seminarians, like all young men under Napoleon's yoke, were obliged to give service in Napoleon's armies. Vocations obviously waned under these kinds of pressures. Catechism was not taught for almost 20 years in any systematic way. So these were very, very difficult times for the church. And the Venerable Bruno was one of those who, from his vantage point in the capital city, Turin, of his small nation, now defeated by the French, up in Piedmont, saw all of this happening and mobilized resources on behalf of the church. Some of this was in ways that were visible and opened, as, for example, organizing parish missions, using the Ignatian spiritual exercises and bringing these into parishes as 8 to 10 day missions, which did an enormous amount of good. This was an opportunity to provide some catechesis to the crowds of people which came, to give them access to the sacrament of confession, to renew their life in the church in many ways, and in many other hidden ways that had to be hidden. For example, in Turin, which was the national university and where all the leading people in this nation went for higher education, the French government was putting great pressure on the university to teach thinking that would be consistent with Napoleon's view of the life of the church, a church subservient to him essentially and to his goals. And so Father Lanteri would write For example, different essays, find people to make copies of them, distribute them amongst the students, and in quiet ways did an enormous amount of good. Likewise, through an extensive spiritual direction, through the Sacrament of Reconciliation, or simply one-on-one meetings with people, he was a force in the midst of this time of great trial and persecution, quietly and firmly assisting great numbers of men and women, all vocations, to remain firm and strong in the midst of what were very difficult times for the church.
What's striking about that, Father Gallagher, is that it's the quintessential example of how the individual may not be able to change the structures of their culture, their environment, the political systems, but the one thing they can do is focus in on their interiority and their expression, their individual expression of the Christian faith, what it is to be a Christian, where you're at in that moment, and how that can change the world literally if all Christians were able to do that where they're at.
It is surprising how much influence even one dedicated Catholic man or woman can have. How many people do we meet in the course of a day? How many people see us? With how many people do we interact in the course of a week or a year? And now, exactly as you say, Chris, the root for Venerable Lanteri, and it would be true of any of us, the root is a deep grounding in a personal relationship with the Lord through prayer. And one of the things I think that strikes any reader of this book and Begin Again, and certainly struck me as I was writing it, is the almost startling contrast between the drama of the events taking place, nations being rocked by revolution, wars and battles, persecution of the church, popes being taken prisoner, and all of this going on. And in the midst of this, we still have in among Venerable Lanteri's writings, his notes of his annual retreat, quietly setting aside some days, reviewing how his meditation is going, ways of finding increased fruit for that, the way that he's celebrating Mass each day, time before the Blessed Sacrament, spiritual reading, Sacrament of Confession. All of these spiritual practices, just he is quietly, year after year, attentive to not only to being faithful to these practices, but exploring constantly ways in which he can grow and deepen and find more fruitfulness in his spiritual practices, and therefore a closer relationship with the Lord. And that really is the root. And there's never anything that can stop a Christian who wants to pray, who wants to get close to the Lord. There are no circumstances around us that can ever stop that. I would almost say the opposite, that the more burdensome and troubling and pressured the circumstances become in living the Christian life, the more this becomes urgent. Now, one of the unforeseen for the French, I would say, and probably also for Venerable Lanteri, one of the unforeseen consequences of his own personal experience of this persecution when he was arrested by the French, interrogated, his apartment and papers were searched, and then his bishop was ordered to remove his faculties for hearing confessions. And in those days, very few people stood up to Napoleon when he gave orders of that kind. And so his faculties were removed, even though the bishop protested that he was a good and honorable priest in every way. And then his exile to his country dwelling in the hills outside of Turin. Now, given his health, given the situation of travel and the roads in those days, it was a complete isolation. Stripped of everything, stripped of immediately with that exile, all of his intense priestly activity collapsed. He's stripped of the presence of his friends and those who have shared with him in the work in the church. His health was very poor at this time, and he did about the only thing he could do. He turned to prayer, and he was given permission by the Holy Father, because of his poor health and the distance to the nearest church, to have a chapel with the Blessed Sacrament in this country home. And it was just really just a few feet down the hall from the room where he lived and worked. One of those who knew him in those years said, "I had the impression when he would come to visit Venerable Ann Terry, I had the impression that by keeping the door of his room open so that he could actually see into the chapel, that his whole day was a day of uninterrupted prayer. He would spend hours there before the Blessed Sacrament. He would do his meditation there, obviously celebrate Mass there. He would recite the different hours of the Divine Office there. And it was also in this time that he studied very deeply the writings of Saint Bonaventure. These warm, faith-filled, spiritually rich writings. And he had the time, slowly studied them. We still have amongst his papers extensive notes that he took on a number of the writings of Saint Bonaventure, and later would tell a priest companion that he felt as though he had never really known God in the same way as he did from the time that he explored deeply those writings in these circumstances of exile, these writings of Saint Bonaventure. We had mentioned, I think, a number of conversations earlier that when he was 17, he had tried to join the Carthusian monks. He had felt the call to that the most radical form of monastic life, of silence and solitude and dedication to prayer, manual labor. But because of the weakness of his health, it was quickly apparent that that would not be a possibility. Here, in a way that shattered the circumstances of his life, came as a painful interruption in a fruitful and rich ministry that he'd been exercising for almost 30 years at this point. Suddenly, he has time. He has silence. He is free in a way that he never was before and never quite would be in the same way again. He has time in an exile, the length of which he could not guess. No term was set to this. It would simply continue as long as Napoleon should wish. And when he was exiled in 1811, no one had any idea that Napoleon would be defeated in any near future. For year after year now, Napoleon had been defeating the combined armies of the different European nations. He seemed invincible. And so here, 1 year, 2 years, and into a third year, the months are passing, and he lives this quiet life. It became what he would call, after about a year of that exile, my cherished solitude. And you can hear in that word cherished that something is warming and deepening. And in fact, the remaining years of his life, after this exile ended with Napoleon's fall in 1814, would be the most fruitful years of his entire life. And they would be the years in which he would create the works that would last long after his death and bear fruit in the church for decades to come. Some of them, obviously, the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, my community, still alive and working in the church. So it's a remarkable witness to how the time of persecution becomes the space that God creates in this man's life for him to deepen in a whole new way in his relationship with God, in a way that became fruitful in ways beyond imagining in the years that would follow.
We'll return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts. The Councils of Mercy, an excerpt from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary.
Above all, I recommend with all my heart that you guard against discouragement, disturbance, and sadness. Seek always to keep your poor heart in peace and encourage it, and always to serve God with holy joy. Be of good heart, because the Lord is with you and He loves you.
For more excerpts from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, visit discerninghearts.com.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
A prayer for the intercession of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. O Father, fountain of all life and holiness, you gave Father Bruno Lanteri great faith in Christ your Son, a lively hope, and an act of love for the salvation of his brethren. You made him a prophet of your word and a witness to your mercy. He had a tender love for Mary, and by his very life he taught fidelity to the Church. Father, hear the prayer of your family, and through the intercession of Father Lanteri, grant us the grace for which we now ask. May he be glorified on earth, that we may give you greater praise. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher. How wonderful it is to reflect on the fact that St. Bonaventure in his writings would have a, can we say, anointing on his spiritual life along with the works of St. Ignatius. I mean, Bonaventure, if I'm not mistaken, Father Gallagher, I mean, he was one, he's contemporary of St. Thomas Aquinas, a Franciscan, who wrote in some of his writings very deeply about the depths of prayer and was very expressive on just relationship with Christ.
He does have, as you say, Chris, the Franciscan warmth. He is a remarkable combination, not many years actually after the death of St. Francis, of the simplicity and the gospel warmth in the overflowing heart of St. Francis with a rich and deep scholarship. And when you put those two things together, something very beautiful emerges. Just to mention something on a personal note, some years ago, I conceived the project of reading all of the writings, all of the spiritual writings of St. Bonaventure. I never quite completed it, but I did read a good many of them. And through that reading, I can understand why the Venerable Lanteri was drawn to him. This kind of writing, his spiritual works, it's spiritual reading. It has a warmth to it. It invites you into relationship with God. It was a very wise choice, a very spiritually intuitive choice on the part of the Venerable Lanteri to focus on those writings in those years. Now, he never says this anywhere, but I would suspect that the fact that he chose those writings when for the first time in his life he had that kind of freedom to spend hours and hours and hours in prayer and study each day suggests that it was something he may have wished he could have done for a long time. You know, when you see that particular author and those particular writings that you say, I'd love to have a chance to delve into those. And he did have the chance and did delve into them very deeply. And God was at work. That's what strikes me as I was writing this and as I think through this particular stage in his life, how the shattering of everything that his heart was attached to and the stripping away of it from him in such a painful and completely unjust way and with no guarantee that he would be given back any of this ever again in his life, that became the launching pad, the stepping stone to the richest spiritual and apostolic phase of his entire life. There's a wonderful mystery of God's working in our lives to ponder in that, I think.
When you say that his heart was stripped away of the things that he wanted, that he had foreseen and desired, I'm sure at the time when he wanted those things, he felt he was in union with the Lord. But now in this journey, he is detached. He is having, you know, he's making that journey so much deeper into the heart. And you would see in his writings on occasion the reference about the importance of the heart. Could you, Father Gallagher, help us to appreciate the nature of the heart of man? And that's, of course, not the physical, the organ that beats, but the essence of so much in the spiritual life, that importance of the heart.
Well, in biblical terms, the heart is the deep point of our interiority. It's the deepest place within us where we are who we are, where we love, where we think, where we desire. And I think that describes pretty well the way in which we're using the word heart right here. If we use Blessed John Henry Newman's phrase, as he describes prayer, heart speaks to heart, where that deepest place within us, however we open that place in prayer to God, whether it's through praying the rosary, whether it's through attentively assisting at Mass, whether it's through quiet time in Lectio Divina with Scripture, quiet time reading a spiritual book, there can be endless numbers of ways in which we can do this, the liturgy of the hours and so on. However we do this, we find time and a space for our heart to become awakened, so that that deep point within us can meet the heart of God. So that, as Newman says, God's heart speaks our heart, and our heart can speak in response to God's heart. When that happens, something utterly powerful takes place in the spiritual life. That's where transformation begins. That's where holiness is born. And that's what Mother Teresa was saying in her often repeated phrase that everything starts from prayer. Now, this was something that Venerable Lanteri always understood. Prayer was always a faithful part of his life. His daily time of meditation, his daily Mass, prayer of the Rosary, the Liturgy of the Hours, time before the Blessed Sacrament. But what we witness at this point in his life is a deepening of all of that. So much so that one of those who visited him during this time, a priest who was one of those he had trained actually in the spiritual life, said that he could attest without any hesitation that in these years, Father Lanteri reached the deep levels of prayer. He would see how Father Lanteri could identify these and name them and speak of them, but above all, experience them in his personal life. And I think once we see that, then we begin to understand the otherwise inexplicable, well, one priest called it miracle of his life, that this man who was so fragile physically could so easily be prostrated by a physical effort, or whose eyes could be quickly worn and unusable for a number of days, even with a limited amount of effort, living in such difficult times, was able to accomplish so much. His life became so fruitful. It's the mystery that we put into words when we, do you know how we say that I had so much to do that I didn't have time not to pray? That when we give time to prayer, not only do we have less time for the tasks that God has given us to do in our lives, but in some remarkable way, we touch that miracle that we're describing here, that we actually have more time than we would have if we didn't give time to prayer. And what we do has a richness and a warmth and a fruitfulness which is evident. That's when we become, to use the church's phrase now, we become evangelizers. You know, Chris, the difference between a teaching simply given, maybe in a parish setting, in a catechesis, or in any setting or just in conversation among friends, and another teaching that comes from a person's heart. I may have said this before, but if so, forgive me and I'll repeat it now. One way of describing this would be by remembering watching on television when Pope John Paul II went to Compostela in Spain and had about 500,000 young people there in one of these early, what became the World Youth Days. And in the homily, repeated to this huge crowd of young people the words of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But he didn't say them the way I've just said them, with that powerful, deep, masculine voice of his amplified by the loudspeakers. And deeply from his heart, he repeated to them Jesus' words, "I am the way." And enormous applause went up from these young people, and the truth, and again the applause and the life, because they knew, and I knew via television as I was watching this, it was deeply moving, that this man was speaking out of a knowledge of Christ, out of a deep personal relationship and love with Christ. That was unspoken, but it was all there in the way this man could say these words. That's what happens when our heart is deeply united with the Lord's heart in prayer. Then our words have power. Then they're coming out of silence, which is the richest place for any words to come. They're coming out of that communion with the Lord.
It's interesting you'd bring up the example of John Paul II, St. John Paul II. In his life, there was a great deal of suffering. And even at that moment, there was a great deal of physical suffering. And when we look in the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, we see in this chapter of his life, he has been, again, just to repeat, he's been stripped of just about everything, even the ability to be able to be with friends by being put in isolation up on a hill, up on a mountain. And he was beginning to lose even faculties that he cherished, like his eyesight. I mean, he is at this time what would appear to be being crushed. And his heart, could we say, being broken. But it was in that brokenness, and he could have gone one way or the other. He could have gone into despair, bitterness, remorse. And yet because of his relationship with Christ and the practices of continually encountering him and the discipline of continually reaching out, as we'll speak of in future conversations, the fruit from that is extraordinary.
Yes, and he had the same humanity that we have, and none of this was easy for him. One of the letters that he wrote about midway through these years of exile was a letter in which he almost longed for what he called the end of his unhappy exile here in this world and the happy meeting with the Lord whom he so loved. There was deep faith in that, but you can hear in that the burden that his humanity is carrying. Everything stripped away, physical pain and discomfort, everything uncertain, in some sense shattered around him in his life. He had the same humanity that we have, and none of this was easy for him. But he did, just as you say, he, faced with this circumstance in his life, which could have gone any number of ways, he was able to seize the grace of the moment and through this time enter even more deeply into communion with the Lord. These were the years, these 3 years of exile were the years in which he moved from becoming a holy priest to becoming a saint, because of the deepening that took place and that would bless everything else that happened in his life later on.
As we continue on the journey through the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, we're about to come into the opportunity to see the fruits of those 3 years. But in concluding our reflection on this aspect of his life, do you have any final thoughts?
I think what this aspect says to us is that whatever situation we may be undergoing perhaps enduring in life right now, even as we're saying these words or hearing them, that none of this is outside of God's loving providence in our lives. And that if we can try humbly, imperfectly, but sincerely and the best we can to stay the course and maybe even intensify our spiritual life in times like these, then like Venerable Lanteri, the time will come in our lives in which we will see the fruit that God was bringing into our lives through this time, and we will get at least a glimpse of how God's providence, loving providence, is always at work in our lives. And there's great hope in that.
How wonderful. Thank you so much, Father Gallagher.
Thank you, Chris.
You've been listening to Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We pray that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we ask that you tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher.